This Ukrainian Jewish atheist says God came to him. He said to God, "You don't exist." And then a supernatural hand literally touched him. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with a former star of the Moscow Circus, a national gymnast champion. He was born in Odessa, Ukraine, Igor Ashkenazi. Now, Igor, what is it like when you were raised in Odessa as a Jew? Was there any discrimination?
Naturally, I was born in Ukraine. Odessa is a Ukraine, and in Ukraine there is a lot of persecution and animosity towards Jewish people, especially in Odessa, where there is a there was a greater Jewish population.
Now, I'm told that every other person in Odessa has Jewish blood. Is that true?
I don't know. It seems like it was a lot. It seems like it was a small amount of us and a whole lot more of them.
How did you become a champion gymnast?
Well, I simply, at one point in my life, enrolled into what is natural for the Soviet boy to do, just the gymnastic. Actually, it's acrobatic, or mm-hmm. It is called in the United States acrogymnastics.
Were your parents athletes?
My parents both doctors. My father is a doctor, a radiologist. My mother is a dentist. So naturally, they did not like that. Especially, what is a Jewish boy doing in this sport? You know,
and especially when you wound up in the circus.
And eventually, yes. Eventually, I actually was invited to Moscow Circus. But I started out just trying, just for my physical improvement, and I was just very good at this. And I was just good at this, and I began to grow in this sport. And eventually went from Odessa to Volgograd, where I finished University of Physical Culture and Sport, where during my university years, I progressed tremendously in the sport, and I became a national champion among the schools of highest athletic achievements. I was master of sport of the entire Soviet Union.
Well, why did you want to leave?
Well, after I became a member of a national Soviet team, Moscow Circus, and finished Soviet Army, Moscow Circus invited me, which I was very happy. I was really happy to go to be with Moscow Circus. It was a tremendous experience for me. We traveled, but not that long after I became a part of Moscow Circus, acrobats work in partners. If you see the three, four people working, throwing mm-hmm. each other in the air and catching. Well,
yes.
One of my partners called me a dirty Jew. And that hurts. I heard that name before mm-hmm. from a very young age. When I was first maybe 4 years old, little boys call me, you know, that I was Jewish in a nasty way. And that's how I discovered that I was Jewish. I asked my parents.
So you weren't raised with the Jewish holidays or bar mitzvah or things like that?
No, we had Passover at our home, kept very quietly among mm-hmm. ourselves, and not much ever talk about God at all. So I was born into atheistic home, even though my great-grandfather was a rabbi in the Tsar's Russia.
Hmm. So your partner, your close partner, calls you a dirty Jew.
He calls me while we work in Bulgaria. We were working in Bulgaria. It was 1972. Everything was going very good for me. I mean, fantastic. I traveled. I did what I do best. And the applause, there was one of the best numbers in the Moscow Circus that I was part of. I was making a lot of money at that time. And suddenly such a fiasco. He got drunk, and began to call me dirty Jew, you're a Jewish pig, you're a dirty Jew, over and over again. Later on, he did apologize, but at that moment when he said that, actually, I started a fight, as I often would do that. I would fight for my nationality. And I had a fight with him, and as we fought, suddenly something struck me. And again, it was a supernatural experience, a thing I felt strongly, that what am I doing in this country? I have to leave. Yes, I am a Jew.
And was it easy for you to leave the country?
It was, my struggle began at that point. Up until this point, everything was
smooth.
But my struggle began at that point. So I immediately came back. When we came back to Russia, we were in Bulgaria working. That happened. And I felt that, what am I doing in Russia? I have to leave. And I stopped fighting. And kind of a peace came upon me. I just knew that what I have to do, I have to leave Soviet Union. I have to leave Russia. And at that time, Jewish people were leaving, just began to leave Soviet Union. So I left. I went back to Odessa, to Moscow, resigned from Moscow Circus, like did 1, 2, 3. Came back, resigned, came back to my city of Odessa, and with ask through my relatives and to give me to send to me an invitation to come to Israel, because at that point we could not go to America. We had to go to Israel.
Now, the KGB was very active at that point. Did they give you any problems?
We had immediately, I was not able to get any job at all.
But you're a champion. How come?
They think very little of anyone. They thought at that point very little of anyone that wanted to leave Soviet Union. I was considered to be an enemy of state. I was looked down upon. My mother had to quit her work. My father died by that time. And we just didn't have any means to survive, really. Only from the money that was saved and some things my grandparents helped. And so we lived like that without any work, hoping that we would leave, but never knew whether we actually would leave. Every week we had to appear at the KGB offices and report that we are here, we have committed no crime, that we have, I don't know what else. I don't remember exactly what we had to report outside of this fact.
Was it a humiliating thing for you?
It was a tremendously humiliating for me and for my family. There were a line of Jewish people standing. We had to get in line at 4 o'clock in the morning in order to appear before, hoping that at that time they will give us the permission to go. So Jewish people from everywhere was just standing by that door during the night, cold weather, hot weather, whatever.
Igor, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, and you're going to find out how he comes to America, can't speak a word of English, and the success that he finds. Be right back. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter with Igor Ashkenazi. Igor, Ukrainian Jew, comes to America, the land of opportunity. He felt something told him to get out of Russia and come to just to leave. And he came to America, and he doesn't speak a word of English. And you can imagine how hard it was. He ends up in New Orleans, and then he becomes so successful. So how does an immigrant that doesn't even speak the language become so successful, Igor?
I guess, again, I have to give credit to God at this point. But at the moment when I arrived to the United States, and couldn't find a job here, and the Jewish Community Center has invited me to be just a gymnastic instructor at the Jewish Community Center in New Orleans. I'm coming there. I am on a very base salary. I think after taxes was about $460 that I came. I came with all my of my mishpucha. I came with my mother, my grandmother, and grandfather. We all came there. And I started work. I started to work like that. But in 1 year working there, a lot of children gathered around me and wanted me and wanted more of my teaching of gymnastics. Just that time, Olga Korbut came into America. And so,
sure.
And
I was— America's darling.
there you go. And everybody suddenly liked gymnastics or that type of activity. Mm-hmm. And I was also very good. I knew it very well, the sport. And I liked children, and I began to work with them. Actually, I started my own business by simply writing letters, maybe 500 letters to different people to come to my own school, which I would open in the evening in the regular at the gymnasium of a regular school.
But you actually trained some of our Olympic people.
No, not Olympic, but national champions.
And the
world champions.
So you're doing so well. You have one of the most successful businesses there. You started with nothing. So why did you start going to cocaine and drugs?
Well, there you go. See, I started with nothing and build my business. My team became national champion of the United States. Myself, I put myself back into working out and performing. Because all this time I had to quit. Mm-hmm. And I was forbidden to work in Russia. And by the time I got myself situated here in the United States, I was out of shape. So I put myself back and won national championship again and again, like four times in a row. And my team became the number one in the United States. My school swelled up to, I had three schools at that time. 500 people, one school, couple hundred people, the other school.
But why the drugs?
And so having that much, I began to make a lot of money, and I tried everything in life at this point. I was single. I had nothing but cash, no property, nothing. My business was doing very well. Eventually, all network shows began to invite me to perform on national television, Johnny Carson, Mike Douglas, Merv Griffin, Saturday Night Live, and you name it, all of them. I performed on all of them. Rolling Stones asked me to be an opening number for them. So I realized I was very good and I've achieved everything, just about everything I wanted to achieve, but something was not satisfying. I was still looking for something, and I was wondering why I live in communism. Now, I live in capitalism. I was poor. I was famous. I was unfamous. I was rich. At least by my understandings, I was rich, and by my family understandings. But I was not fulfilled. My heart was not fulfilled, and I was looking for something else. And I thought, you've tried everything in your life. What have you not tried yet? And I thought for a while, I always smoked and always drank, but I've never tried drugs. And I thought, there you go. I've never tried drugs. In fact, my friend said to me, Igor, you know what? You've never tried drugs. Why don't you try one time? I said, sure, why not? And I tried. I tried a simple marijuana, which led me eventually to all kinds of drugs. Almost instantly, I liked that and went into speed and cocaine until I became addicted.
So were you fulfilled as an addict?
That's, at the beginning, I thought that was the missing link. But very quickly, when I was caught in this, I couldn't quit. Mm. And the moment I could always quit drinking easily. Had that power within me, I knew that. Mm. Quit drinking on a social level, which I drank. But this time I tried to quit one time, just for fun. Let me try to drink, to quit. And I quit, maybe for one day. I could not sleep. I was, depression hit me like a ton of bricks. And it scared me tremendously. And at that point, I didn't know what else to do but to get more drugs so I wouldn't get to this down point. But it led me to a fact that I couldn't work anymore because my job was dangerous. We're talking about acro gymnastics, throwing in the air people, and also spotting other gymnasts, other acrobatic gymnasts.
It was life-threatening.
It was life-threatening, and I decided to actually leave New Orleans quietly and to leave my business to my assistant and go to Los Angeles and maybe make something of myself there when I will be away from all that New Orleans.
But drugs are insidious. They really are. And he found that he was a prisoner. We'll be back in just a moment with the most exciting supernatural rescue you've ever seen. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Igor Ashkenazi. And, this is such an amazing thing. He got into heroin. We'll go right back to him. But before we do, let's go to Janie in the control room and find out who our guest is next week. Janie?
Sid, you'll be interviewing a woman who had third stage ovarian cancer. Her stomach was filled with tumors, and she only had a few months to live. But then she knew that there was a certain key that she had to do in order to be healed.
What's the key?
The key was that she had to forgive her son-in-law. And she had a miracle happen.
That sounds so simple, Janie.
It is simple, but people, when we don't forgive people, then it's even a known fact that people get sick with all kinds of diseases. So she had to forgive.
I can't wait for that show. I'm here with Igor Ashkenazi. Igor, you have everything. You're now a drug addict. You know you are. You can't stop. You say, maybe I'll change the scenery. You go to California, and one night you turn on television, and there's an evangelist, Jimmy Swaggart, and what did he say?
Well, what happened was in order for me to go, I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't calm down. So I drank a whole bottle of vodka just to calm down. Of course, I wasn't drunk because when you're high on drugs, you don't get drunk. I got sick because I already was high. And so I sat in my bed and I was tremendously sick. And I decided, let me get my mind off this thing. Maybe that will help because I knew I couldn't hold the hospital and everything. I was afraid because I was on drugs. So I turned on television, and I'm sitting in bed, and suddenly I see a finger right out of this darkness appears on television, and the face of a man crying, "You are in bed, drunk and sick." That was me.
Did you realize he was talking to you?
I thought he was talking to me exactly, but I couldn't understand how could he. It was so real to me at this moment. It was like scoring my heart, right? Hit me right into my heart. Of course, I would never watch him, that type of show otherwise. And I didn't even know there was a Christian show. If I would know there was a Christian show, I would probably switch it immediately. But again, he exactly pinpointed where I was. And then he says, "And nobody can help you." He said, your friends can help you. They're just like you. Your parents cannot help you. You're afraid to tell them about it." And that was exactly what I was at. The hospital cannot help you. Otherwise, we won't have this problem. And I said, "That's right. And you cannot help yourself because you are trying surely hard, but cannot. But I know somebody who can." And I said, "Oh, who could that be?" Believe it or not, I took a pen out of my pocket. And I thought, what is his name? And I was just sitting there and waiting for the name. I don't remember what he said. But all throughout his speech, he was crying and saying something about Israel, and I was waiting, when is he going to give me the name? He didn't say it. But at the end he said, look, repeat after me, and that's all I remember. And I said, okay, and I repeat, and I repeated after him. It was a sinner's prayer. I didn't even know there was a sinner's prayer. I just repeat after him. Whatever he said, I repeat. At the end, he said in Jesus' name, and I said in Jesus' name, and then suddenly tears start coming from my ears, from my eyes. I'm sorry. And I was glad nobody was around me because I never cried up until this point. And I quickly forgot about this whole experience. Nothing has changed for 4 months. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Just like, I even forgot it happened.
So you look for a little fun in Las Vegas. You're with a friend, and I guess it's at night. What happened?
Right, we're going to Vegas to gamble. Mm-hmm. And 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm extremely disappointed with my life. Extremely to what my life have become. I lie down in bed, and I just, in my heart, I just so distressed. And I said, I need help. What have I done with my life? Where do I go? Do I go back to that depression from drugs? I ran away from the emptiness to drugs. Now I'm in depression. What is to life? What is to life, period? And at that moment, it was dark, 4 o'clock in the morning. I remember that day. It was in July. It was 31st of July and 1st of August night. It was very dark, and suddenly out of darkness, I hear the voice, Igor. Well, first, of course, I thought I cracked up.
Had you ever heard a voice
like
that before?
I don't hear voices, and I never heard a voice. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it is. He says, you just call upon me. And I say, what is going on? Who am I hearing? Who is it? I begin to wrestle in my mind. And he says, I am your God. Oh my God, I'm thinking, I cracked up. That's it. That's how it feels. When you cry, I mean, just a voice made, but God doesn't exist. And I actually said to him, but you don't exist.
You said that?
I said verbally.
To God, you don't exist?
Can you imagine that? How blind sometimes we can be. And I say to him, you do not exist. And he said to me, but what are you going to do with me? I am. That was a shocker. And when he said that, it impacted me. And I actually realized I am talking to God. What am I going to do now? I am talking to God. It's not my mind. It's not my hallucination. I hear the voice that I am talking to God, and it's overpowering me. It's from the outside and inside at the same time. And somehow I believed in my heart that he exists. At that moment, he knew that I believe.
You told me you were touched by a hand?
He knew that I believed that moment, and he said to me immediately, I'm going to touch you right now, and you will never stop talking about me. At that moment, the light broke through. It was dark. I only heard the voice out of darkness. The light, so brilliantly bright light, I couldn't even look at it, with the golden strings in it, and the light began to descend upon me. Now, I was afraid at this point. I wanted to run away, but my senses were overpowered and I couldn't move. Where I was, there was darkness. Where light was, there was light. It was not even light. It was like his presence. And I cannot tell until this day. I wanted to say a scarred hand came out and touched my shoulder, but it was either out of the light hand came out to touch my shoulder, or the light transformed.
But that same light, that same glory of God is going to come on you right now in Jesus' name, because I believe you need him as much as Igor needed him. If you will, you see right now, you can feel his presence. It's coming on you so strong. This is God that's coming on you. It's not man, it's God. Why? Because he loves you. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to know God for myself. There must be more. There is more.